chapter 14, beginning with verse 14. Solomon writes, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for the engrafted word that's able to save the soul. We lean upon your word this morning. We would ask you, God, that you would open it up, that you would help us to understand those things that are not always so evident, that we sometimes have problems connecting the dots. I would ask you that you would use me, Lord, to speak to your people with love and compassion, knowing that your people love you, but we always are not aware of the traps that can be set for us. And Father, we'd ask you that you'd bless the offering that we receive today here in the worship room across the online experience. Bless these families, bless these people, return it back unto them in such a way that they know that the hand of the Lord is upon their life. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. I want to minister this morning, entitling the message, "The Backslider in Heart." And whenever we talk about backsliding or just sin, it demands that we as God's people are absolutely honest with ourselves. We have to be honest or we can't make any advancements. And so when we think of backsliding, many times we think of the person that's gone back out and he's smoking dope again, drinking liquor again, and that is backsliding. But backsliding is far more nuanced than that. And so let me explain. If God were here and we're walking in our sanctification and we're walking closer to God, we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of God, and then due to a set of circumstances, we make a decision to turn around and we're no longer progressing to God. Now we're slowly moving back the other way. That would be considered backsliding. And I think we all understand that. But again, backsliding is more nuanced than that. And it's such that if you're progressing towards the things of God in this way and you're moving forward and all of a sudden the Lord challenges you and you stop and you refuse to continue moving forward, that too is backsliding. The definition of backsliding, the word picture rather, is that a farmer trying to lead his mule through the gate and the mule doesn't want to go, so it slides back on his haunches. It slides on his rear hinds, and it just sits there refusing to move forward. That's backsliding. And many times this happens, not because we don't love God, but rather it's because we love something else more. And if we move forward, we have to walk away from something else. But I backslid early in my Christian experience, horribly bad, for about 7 years, to be honest with you. And I've learned one thing about it. The way of the backslider is hard. It's hard. You have the Spirit of God on the inside, and every day you're miserable. You're trying to press in a direction other than what the Holy Spirit is trying to have for you. And it brings discipline after discipline after discipline upon your life. And the scripture says the way of the backslider is hard. But many times, I know in my own situation, years ago, I didn't realize what was happening to me. I knew something was happening. And I can remember praying as this backsliding mindset, as it began to settle upon my life. In my prayers, I would be, "God, I feel like I'm falling away backwards." It's like a man who falls off the cliff and he's grabbing at anything he can get, but he's still falling. That's what it was like for me. And I couldn't put it together. I just didn't have the maturity. And I had no one to teach me what was happening to me. And so this morning I want to talk about that. In the book of Galatians, the first thing we have to understand about backsliding is that to resist it, to not succumb to it, you have to be honest. You have to be honest with yourself. And so Paul, when he wrote the book of Galatians, he did it because the Galatian church were totally and completely backslidden. They had started in the spirit and then they turned and began to pursue perfection through fleshly means. And so in the sixth chapter of Galatians, he says this. He says, do not be deceived. Self-deception is the beginning of backsliding. Jeremiah told us, he said, that the heart is deceitful above all things. Now understand, he didn't say the heart is deceitful. He said it's deceitful above everything else. It's the most deceitful thing that exists. And so men and women, we are given to self-deception. It's very easy. Okay, I'll prove to you. How many think you're drop dead beautiful? Right? It's easy for us to deceive ourselves. You know, somebody might not raise their hand and say, well, you know, I'm not that bad. But our hearts, we can easily, not just somebody else deceive us, we can easily deceive ourselves. And so Paul says, be not deceived, because God is not mocked. And here he gives us part of the clue to how to avoid backsliding. He says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now let's break down what he's saying. It's farmer terms or agricultural terms. The farmer has 50 acres and he's got to buy seed. Now I'd have no idea how much seed for 50 acres costs, but let's just say it's $50,000. He has to spend $50,000 to buy sufficient seed to put into his 50-acre plot of land. For him, that is an investment. He's investing in that land. And so if we substitute the word sow for invest, it kind of comes to light for us. Whatsoever a man invest in, that shall he also reap. For if he invest to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if he invest to the spirit, of the spirit shall reap everlasting life. So one of the faults that we have to consider when it comes to backsliding is, are we continuing to invest? I don't mean monetarily. I mean your time, your mental powers, your intellect. Are you investing in the things of God? Are you continuing to pursue Him? And sometimes investments are simply, it's not just even your intellect, it's not simply money, but are you investing in Him in terms of the little things in your life that He wants you to let go of, and you let those go so that you can have more of the kingdom? That's an investment in the kingdom. Now, here's my experience, and it's going to be maybe a little bit tight, but I don't mean it to be tight. It just happens to be the truth. I have seen more Christians during my time as a pastor backslide, not because of drugs, not alcohol or sex, because of the TV set. The TV. I have seen Christians backslide because of sports, their love affair with sports, or their love affair with the entertainment of this world. And it's because they refuse to invest in this that they used to do, to take their time, energy, and intellect to invest it into the kingdom of God. And what they're doing is they've stopped. I'm not going to move forward, because if I do, I got to let go of this. And so they stop right there. And whenever you stop, that's the beginning of your backsliding. Because the course of this world, the course of this world, the power, it'll just pull you right back. So Paul said, don't be deceived. We have to be honest with ourselves. What in our lives do we already know that God's not entirely happy with, but we've not yet done anything about it? That's your danger point for backsliding, whatever that thing is. And it may not be something I just mentioned, but whatever it is, that's your danger point. Now, Peter gives us more light on this idea of backsliding. Because as I said, early in my salvation walk, I was backsliding, but I didn't know. And then at some point, I was backslid. You know, you backslide for a point, and then you're backslid. And it was obvious. And I remember distinctly my wife coming to me and said, how can this be? She knew where I was at. How can this be? And here's what she said. I know you love God. How can this be? And I had no answer. I don't know how this could be. Because I know I love God too. Nevertheless, I'm Something is pulling me away from the things of God. Peter gives us then really the solution that we're thinking about here. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll begin reading with verse 20. Peter writes, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world." Now, the pollutions of this world is an umbrella phrase that you can put anything in it. Whatever's not of God goes under there, okay? It doesn't have to be deep, dark sin. It can just be light, what we think of as light sin. It doesn't matter whether it's a bag of fentanyl or Channel 5 on the television set. If it causes you to backslide, it's just as evil. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now that's speaking specifically to a Christian. Nobody's escaped the pollution of this world other than Christians. So he's speaking specifically to Christians. "If they are again entangled therein." Entangled in what? Entangled in the pollutions of this world. "And overcome in the pollutions of this world. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning." Now think about that statement. It would have been better for Judas to have never met the Lord. It would have been better for him to have never even walked with Jesus Christ. Because we're judged based on the light that we have. And he was exposed to great light and still backslid. There's another character in the Bible by the name of Demas. If you remember, Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me." Why? Having loved this present world, he was overtaken by the pollutions of this world. Ananias and Sapphira, they'd have been better off having never met the apostles. But once you've met the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been exposed to light, you are responsible for the light that you've been exposed to. So Peter goes on to say in verse 21, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Now, one thing I liked about Peter is that you didn't misunderstand what Peter said. He said it so plain and sometimes even crassly that it puts a picture in your mind. And for many years, I didn't understand this last phrase. But Peter's not just being crass. He's not just calling people names. That's not his motivation at all. If you ever had a new puppy, you can have a brand new puppy. Just pick him up, take him home, love on him. As soon as you open the door to let him outside, he goes straight to the fire hydrant and sniffs around it. You never sent him to puppy school. You never gave him any training. Why does he do that? It's because it's his nature. It's the nature of a dog to eat its own vomit. You can take a pig, take it out of the mud hole, clean it off, and put a nice white sheet over here and a mud hole over there. The pig will always go back to the mud hole because it is the nature. The pig is operating in the nature of a pig. And what is it that calls a child of God who's in love with Jesus Christ to go back to the pollutions of this world? They're operating under the sin nature. Their nature is compelling them to move back. Let me be more plain. What is it that causes a person to watch the next episode of the 15 episodes they've already watched when the Holy Spirit is saying that's enough? It's the nature. It's the sin nature revealing itself. When we clearly hear God say, "Don't do that," and we go ahead and do it, every Christian operates under either one of two natures. We have been made partakers of the divine nature, and we are able to walk with God, but we have inherited the sin nature from Adam. Let's just be honest, it's a problem. It's a problem. I'm praying all the time. I'm constantly in the Word of God. Sin nature is still a problem. It's a fight that doesn't end. As long as you have this body, you'll always have to fight the sin nature. But that's what Paul said. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't get spiritually lazy and just say, I'm just going to coast. You will either fight or you will take a whooping. I'm from the streets when I was young. And one thing I learned on the streets, if you get in a scuffle and you fall down, you better get back up as fast as you can, because old boy finna kick you in your face. You get back up. Same thing with the devil. If you're fighting a good fight of faith and you get knocked down, praise God, get back up and get to talking to God. Lord, I'm sorry for what just happened, but God, you're still my king and I still love you and I want to walk with you and lay aside the weights and the sins that does so easily beset us. It's so easy for Satan to invoke the sin nature and all of a sudden we find ourselves repenting. You can be going along just fine. I mean, come on, can we be honest today? You could just be living fine and you feel the weight of temptation. You say, oh God, here it is again. And because you're a child of God, you say, Lord, I just need help today. And you keep going, but the temptation, it just keeps pressing you. It's like Delilah on Samson. It just keeps pressing and pressing until finally, in a moment of weakness, you indulge yourself. Then you're like, Lord, here I am again. I've been here 1,000 times. Listen, God's not, when he saved you, he knew you were going to fall 1,000 times. It didn't catch God off guard. But what it does is put you in test mode. Now that you failed, how will you respond? Will you do as the first Adam and run and hide yourself from the presence of God in the trees of the garden? Or will you come right out before God and say, God, I'm a failure and I without you, I can't do nothing. And I ask you to forgive me, wash me in the blood and strengthen me, God. Strengthen me that I go and I sin no more. This is the heart of Christianity. If you don't do that, if you don't bring it to the Lord sooner or later, it's going to begin to wear down your faith and you're going to be embarrassed to come to the Lord. And little by little, you're at a precipice now. Either give that thing up or spend the rest of your life in repentance, or give it up and walk on with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how progress is made. And I'll be honest with you, the Lord is not, he'll ask you for what is very precious to you. It don't bother him at all. You know, all of us are a little bit funny in what we like. And I know when I got saved, I had an album collection. I had been putting this album collection probably for 10, 15 years. How many used to have an album collection? Does anybody know what an album is? Am I the only one? And I mean, you know, you have your album covers all set around because they were decorations. They weren't just LPs. They were decorations. And then when I got saved, he wanted my record collection. And I gave it to him. That was not a problem for me. I gave it to him. And all my friends were mad that I didn't give it to them. On a hot summer day, I threw it in the Dipsy dumpster. They don't last long in the summer heat. Because I felt like if this is not good for me, it's not good for anybody. But my point is that God will ask you for what you hold dear sometimes. Ask Abraham. He looked over. Abraham has so many possessions. God looked over all of Abraham's possessions. Look at all these goats, all these sheep. You have your wife. I want Isaac. I want that you hold the dearest. That's what I want. Says you ain't going to have it when you leave this planet anyway. You might as well give it to him now and get something for it. And so the point of this scripture then is that the pull that we sometimes feel is our nature. We're operating in the wrong nature. And here's how you can tell. When you're operating in the divine nature, prayer and worship are common. They just roll out of you there because you're operating in that nature. It's very easy to pray. It's very easy. When you're struggling in prayer, it's because you got one foot here with the sin nature and one foot with the divine nature, and you're just miserable right there. And the way to live the Christian experience easy is to cut bait and walk with God. Just cut bait and walk with God. Samson would have been better had he just cut Delilah loose. He'd have been better off. But as a result of trying to hold on to that he knew did not please God, it cost him, and it cost him very dearly. Now, in the book of Galatians chapter 4, I'll give you this in a scriptural picture. And forgive me, you have to be spiritual to understand it, but I'm sure that you'll grasp it. Chapter 4, beginning with verse 28. Paul has already talked about the two covenants being like the two mountains. Sinai, I believe it was, and I forget what the other one was. And then he talked about how there's two different natures. Here in verse 28, he says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit." Now let's break this down. Of course, you know the story. Ishmael was the firstborn. He was the product of Abraham and Hagar. Not illegitimate, but not the promised seed. Isaac was the promised seed, the product of Abraham and Sarah. Ishmael was born first. Your fleshly carnal body was born first. Then you were born again later on. And the second being born is likened unto Isaac. So each one of us has an Ishmael and an Isaac in us. Is that clear? Is that making sense? Just like we read in the story of Genesis, Ishmael would persecute Isaac, and your fleshly carnal self, the sin nature through your flesh, will persecute the divine nature, which is the younger one. Am I making sense? Okay, he goes on to say, "But as it was then, he that was born after the flesh, Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, Isaac, even so it is now." He's saying that's exactly what's happening in us. "Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son." Remember, that's what God told Abraham when they were having this contention. He said, "Throw out Hagar and take her little bad baby with him. Throw them out, bad as baby's kids." And that's what he's telling you and I, is cast out the bondwoman and cast out the Ishmael. Put them under subjection. Cast them out. Don't let them rule and reign. Because he says, "For the son of the bondwoman shall not be the heir with the son of the free woman." He's saying Ishmael is not going to receive an inheritance. Only Isaac gets the inheritance. And you and I, we have an inheritance promised to us, but it's not going to be to those who have invested in the Ishmael lifestyle. It's going to be those that have invested in the things of God. Am I making sense this morning? This is how we backslide, is because I was too young. I couldn't connect the dots what was happening, but I was operating in the wrong nature. See, the path for living successfully in God is to always walk after the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why if you, during the day, you find out, hey, I'm neutral. I'm in the neutral zone. I'm not in the spirit. I'm not in the flesh. You are in a dangerous place. Because if you're in the neutral zone, you might fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you're walking after the Spirit, you're pursuing him. And don't ever think you're doing too much. I get up some mornings that I'm going to be at the house all day, and I get up fairly early. And I'll start my studies, I don't know, maybe, 5:30, 6 o'clock. I may still be studying at noon. And it's very easy to think that, wow, I'm sure I'm doing more than everybody else. I'm good. No, you're not. You're not good. We're never good. We have to do everything that we can. Now, don't compare yourself to me, because I'm not comparing myself to you. But do everything. Compare yourself to you, to yourself. And do everything that you can do. And look, where were you last year at this time? What was your dedication? If it's less today than it was last year, you stopped. You stopped. Something holding you back. cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir of the with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore. Therefore means, look at what you just, when you read therefore, you have to figure out what is therefore. So you look back at what has just been said, stand fast based on everything we said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage. It means that our whole focus, our whole attention has to always be, am I still moving forward or have I stood still? And if you've stood still, it won't be long, you'll be moving backwards. That's how backsliding occurs. And as I quoted early in the service, the way of the backslider is hard. It's hard. You begin to believe everything the devil is telling you. God's forgotten about you. No, the devil will tell you, you've used up all God's grace. He got no more for you. And that's opposite of what the Bible speaks of. Here's the one thing, you always have to keep this in your mind. I don't care how many times you failed. Two things. Number one, look away from your 10,000 failures and look to the head of your great high priest. He is your holiness. He is your righteousness. That's the first thing that you got to grasp. The second thing is this. On the day that God saved you, he already knew your whole future. He knew that you were going to fail a million times. He already knew that the day he saved you. If he was going to walk away from you, he would have done it that day. He would have never called you. But he has called you, and he is more committed to your success as a Christian than you are. So don't let the devil tell you that it's too much. Press in. Press in on God. If you're going to fall forward into his arms. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Would you stand to your feet all over the room if you're able this morning? Let's just go to the Lord together, and you know where you're at in your walk, and just pray for what you need. Father, we just come to you this morning. We just love you and thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us an understanding on how backsliding occurs, that we don't actively pursue you, that we're passive in our Christian walk, that we don't cast away the weights and the sins that come upon our lives, but we indulge them and we romance them and we try to find a resting place in this progression of sanctification. Father, we come to you this morning and we ask you for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. God, that you would just help us in every situation. Lord, we know that we can't run fast enough that we're perfect tomorrow morning. But God, as the days, the weeks, the months, and the years roll out, help us to be consistent in our pursuit of the things of God. Come on, all over the room, just ask him what you need. Father, help me. Help me to grow in grace. Help me to grow in the knowledge of God. Help me, Lord, to draw closer to you, to draw closer to your mercies. Come on, just reach out.
Yes, Lord. Help us to continue to press toward the mark of the cross. Help us continue to push forward, Lord, despite what everything that's going on around us. Let us not be discouraged, but that we would continue on, Lord. Help us to pray more. Help us to seek you more, Lord. Help us to get into our word more and not be turned to the left or the right. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we thank you so much for being out with us this morning. I hope that you were blessed by the word and will continue to press towards Jesus. If you haven't had a chance to give, please do so. Of course, there's numerous ways to do it. The baskets in the back and the kiosk in the lobby. And you can also give online. As Pastor mentioned, we do have some changes on our donation page. So be aware of that. And of course, if you'd like to get the new commentary on Thessalonians, you can see the greeters out in the lobby. Well, we do thank you again for being out with us. Come back to the 11 o'clock service. We love you, and God bless you. You are dismissed.